tonight on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. After another exciting White Sox game, we welcome on Vanessa Morris, who is the Director of Awareness for Sela Freedom Foundation. And at 11:35, we have Nicole and Katie from the Sierra Club here in Chicago. And stay tuned till the end of the show when we have listener prizes from another episode of What's That From? Where we take on a scene from your favorite movie. But now, live from the Allstate Skyline Studio here in Chicago, here is your host, Andrea Darlis.
It's 10:42 in the greatest city in the world, Chicago, Illinois. Way to go, White Sox. Thanks, Carm, for an awesome postgame. We do have a great show for you tonight. We're going to talk about a new center in Chicago that's designed to help sex trafficking. You would be stunned to know where Chicago ranks when it comes to sex trafficking. And then we're going to talk to a couple of my friends from the Sierra Club about the Riverwalk, that latest lawsuit against Trump Tower for dumping in the water, Lake Michigan water levels. The beaches have been great. They're going to be open all weekend long. Going to talk a little air and water show as well. And, of course, what's that from? Roger, I'm so excited because it's something sort of recent, right? So it'll have words.
Within your realm of connection, I would say.
Fantastic, yeah. Fantastic.
I love how you asked.
It's in color.
I love how you asked if it had words. It's like a silent film that we've been doing for all these years.
Right. Like, we'll just mime it. This is one of my favorite parts of the show. I really enjoy it. I just want to be able to guess the movie sometimes.
Well, you should be able to guess.
But that just, I guess that just shows that's your forte. You know,
or that I'm just old.
To stump us, right? Oh, Roger, oh my gosh, this is so funny. So earlier this week, Don's doing news.
Right.
Domati was in. Mm-hmm. Mike, of course, producing. And I mentioned, what was it that you guys were looked at me like I had, 10 heads? It was Atari?
Oh, yes. The Atari.
Was that it?
Game.
The Atari. Pong. It was Pong. Yeah, they're talking all about, up-to-date games.
Right.
Like, what, Nintendo? No, what's a Nintendo?
Come on.
Game Boy 3.
Xbox.
Oh, yeah, Xbox,
PlayStation.
Right.
PlayStation.
Right, yeah. PlayStation.
And you were back on Pong.
Yeah, I was completely back on Pong. Michael found the sound effects and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Then for trying to, I'm saying, come on, name your favorite Aretha Franklin song. And Michael, you were good at that. You're a musician, so you know Aretha.
She's the queen of soul.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but yeah, I felt old, Roger.
Well, now I'm here on Friday, and you can feel younger.
Good, very good. Until we do the What's That From segment.
Yeah. Actually, the Pong, I was in college when that first came out, and all the bars in Carbondale had not the stand-up machine, but the kind where you would sit down like at a table. And
there it is.
There it is. And so that's where I
Classic.
First started playing it. And then I actually, after we got married, and we were living in Vegas, there was a TV manufacturer called Curtis Mathis.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was mainly out in Western U.S.
Okay.
And the TV we finally spent money on that wasn't like, with the antenna.
With the rabbit ears?
Yeah.
A
hanger for the antenna. had built-in Pong.
No
on the
kidding,
TV set.
On the TV.
Yeah, and it had handles that you could plug in the back, and you would press a button on the front of the TV, which would switch it from TV to the Pong game.
Oh, that's cool.
And I would sit there with both paddles, one in each hand, playing Pong.
Okay, good. I was
with nobody else
where you were going
in the room.
There it is.
What is this?
Wow.
Is that the old-time radio program?
Is that the old newsreel song?
And now the latest news.
Roger, what was Murrow like? Was he cool?
Who?
What was Marconi like? Was he
well,
fun?
You know, when he was in swaddling clothes, and I had to take care of him on the weekends.
Come on, we are not going to tease you. I mean, you've covered huge stories, like the cooling of the earth.
Yeah.
The sinking of the Titanic.
Well, I fed the dinosaurs when they're first starting out.
Right.
No, they weren't that big to start with. You know that.
You know I love you. I've known you forever. It's we talk to each other like this all the time. But I completely felt, I said, I thought we were the cool house on the block because we not only had Atari, but we got Intellivision.
Ooh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then we had Remember on TV?
Yes.
See?
Yeah, we would get it on our TV, but we didn't pay for it, but it was always like fuzzy.
You didn't pay for a lot, Roger. I'm learning about you.
I'm still not paying for a lot.
Do you shut your water meter off, too, when you sprinkle
the lawn? We're not talking about it. Just grab the hose from next door. That's all.
Exactly. No kidding. Oh, good times.
Yes.
These are fun things that we can remember. But yes, no, I'm glad you're here, though.
Awesome. We're going to have fun with it.
Yeah, we absolutely are.
It's a little on the serious side, though.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
And I hear, we have an all-male cast tonight, but... The movie is female roles, right?
Yeah, three out of the four roles are female.
All right, so Michael, Don, we're going to bring Aubrey back in, I believe, too.
Okay.
Because back by popular demand, I should say. Aubrey killed it last week.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to be back reading
awesome.
With us, too.
Cool.
Hopefully. Right? He knows this, right?
I think he's holding out for more money.
I think he is, too, right? He got a SAG card over the week, too.
Yeah, we informed him that he might need to do some dialect tonight, and he gave us his email of his agent.
Right. We have to talk to his people just to get him back in here. Hey, there's so much going on in Chicago this weekend. You guys, is anybody going to the Aaron Water show?
Nope, I got my work schedule, so
you'll be here,
and I'll be here, but okay. I won't be here at a time when they're flying by.
Oh my God, how fun has this week been with them flying by? I love when
it's
they
so
do the
cool.
practicing
oh, yeah.
over the lake. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Michael, you're going, right?
Yeah,
you're gonna
go,
be there tomorrow.
I try to go every year. I have a great view from my rooftop that I can see them fly. I'm really looking forward to it because it's such a cool thing to see everyone come out. Like when we had the pilots on, they were talking about how every single person is on the rooftop, and that's so true.
Oh my God,
every person from Chicago comes out for the Aaron Water show. So I'm looking forward to seeing it. Yes.
Check out if you guys didn't have a chance to hear our show earlier this week, we had two of the fighter jet pilots on with us. We had the stunt pilot, the trick pilot on with us as well. Mary May was here from the city, and we had a member of the Golden Knights parachute team who I think jumped with Vic Vaughn a few years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. Vic did jump. Yeah.
Vic jumped. Yeah. And then he was with David Ross last year from the Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
So he was trying to get us to jump, and we said, yeah, maybe next year.
You're not going to jump? Oh, come on.
Oh, are you kidding? Would you guys, would you do that if you had the opportunity? Any of you guys? Don, Roger, Mike?
I totally would, yeah.
You all would?
I think I would. I can't believe that you wouldn't, Andrea.
Michael, you could absolutely jump because I told her no. Lourdes, my friend, we know Lourdes Duarte from Channel 9, she jumped.
Sure.
And Sean Lewis did it last year, our friend Sean.
Yeah.
That's right. He was on the show earlier this week, too.
Yeah, check out that podcast, too. He's
and
so
he
funny.
Survived, so I mean,
know.
It makes sense.
Oh, wait a minute. How do you say that?
It just,
he survived.
It scares me, see? Now, you guys, all of you should do it next year, because Mary was in here, Mary May, and she said, come on, you guys have to do this. Michael, you absolutely can do this next year.
I'd love to. That'd be the scariest thing I've ever done in my entire life, by far.
Now, everyone thinks it's bad and it's scary and dangerous, but you're not jumping by yourself. You're jumping with your partner.
You're a tandem.
You're strapped to somebody.
Yes.
Right.
Have you guys done this before or something?
No, we've seen it.
Oh, okay.
We've seen these news people and other TV people and radio people jumping in tandem.
I would maybe jump. But my mom has made me promise her, you know, wait till long after she's gone before I would do that.
Really?
But what I wouldn't do is fly in a fighter plane. I love to fly, but I don't want to fly in a fighter jet just because I'd be afraid I'd throw up. And we told Steve and Jimmy that.
You wouldn't be the first.
Remember what the pilot said?
What?
Well, can I tell the story, right?
I think you can.
Okay, so they
a little
took
off air comment.
Yeah, he made a comment and he said that they take up, you know, celebrities and people.
Right.
So he took up years ago, I guess it was Hugh Hefner, and then a couple of the Playboy bunnies.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, oh God, how do I say this nicely? Michael, you say it. He said they throw up. It's like everybody else.
Yes, he said that he brought up the Playboy bunny, and he thought that because of her stature as a Playboy bunny, she would maybe her vomit wouldn't smell as bad. But lo and behold, it smells just like everybody else's.
Right, and
it's not perfume and glitter.
Right.
Well, I'd be worried if they were swallowing perfume and eating glitter.
You never know.
That's what they thought was going to come up.
Right.
That's fantastic.
I've never been to the Playboy Mansion before. I don't know what they do over there.
I know, right?
If that happened next year, you'd see all the Blue Angels with the insides covered in glitter and sparkly stuff.
Right. A lot of different Halloween costumes going on that year.
Yeah.
But that would scare me. I wouldn't want to be sick.
I wouldn't mind doing it, but I think I'd have problems because I have problems with my equilibrium.
Oh, you absolutely
nowadays.
Shouldn't do that.
When I was younger, I was fine. I used to hang out at Riverview all the time.
Mm-hmm.
going on every ride that I could find,
you know,
going upside down and inside out and stuff. And nowadays, roller coasters throw me. I love them.
It's interesting you say that. I never liked roller coasters. I mm-hmm. never minded rides, you know, either carnival rides or any sort of, I hate rides.
But those
now.
Aren't.
I can't do them anymore.
Oh, now you don't even do the rides?
No, I don't even do the rides. I take the dart and I throw it at the balloon.
Yeah.
And I try and win something. And then I'll go eat a corn dog.
Well, yeah. You know, with the rides.
My excitement at carnivals.
With the rides, Andrea, you know, there is that height limit. And since you've gone over that.
Right.
That's your out.
That's
you know?
My out, yeah. I don't have to do it anymore. Exactly. Well, if anyone's going to the Air and Water Show, of course, there are so many places where you can watch the planes. If you don't have a rooftop party to go to along North Avenue Beach, Willis Tower is hosting a cloud level picnic in the sky. That'll be tomorrow. It's $100, but you get lunch and drinks as well. It puts you eye to eye with the Blue Angels as you enjoy that catered lunch. If you don't want to fork out that kind of dough, you can always go to the John Hancock Center and pay the $11.50 and go on up there and stand up there as long as you want and watch the Air and Water Show. So these are just some tips as well. You can go to some of the rooftop bars. The Metropolitan is having a party. Cindy's right across from Millennium Park. That's a great restaurant and a great bar if you want to go to Cindy's above Millennium Park for a great sight line of the festivities. The Jay Parker is offering parties and they're reserving tables as well. Patio at Cafe Brower, Sandbar Beer Garden, the Shore Club, Theater on the Lake, and don't forget the Miller Lite Beer Garden at Navy Pier. Have you guys been out to the beer garden on Navy Pier?
No, not yet.
Oh, my God.
I haven't been out there since
they
remodeled everything.
It is so nice now. We had the Navy Pier folks in, remember, Michael, a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah.
And when we were in the other studio, when we were facing...
They're doing so many awesome things in Navy Pier now.
Yeah.
It's changed even since I was a little kid.
It's cool.
Over the past 10 years, it's just been amazing. But that Miller Lite, that must be such a great view because you're right on the water.
Oh, my God. It's almost a hidden gem because I stumbled upon it. Not literally. I stumbled upon the beer garden years ago, and I thought, I didn't know anything was even back here, because you get to all the boats and the Sea Dog and the Odyssey, and then there's the little banquet room, which obviously is not in use all the time. And if you walk past there, it's at the very end of the pier, and that's where they have the Bob Newhart statue now, where he's sitting on the bench.
Cool. Yeah. They moved it off of Michigan Avenue?
Yeah, that's the new home for us.
Oh, sweet. Okay.
Yeah, and it's like you said, Michael, that's a perfect view of watching all the festivities. And the beer garden, they have specials all weekend long. There's going to be DJs, cover bands, food and drink right at the garden's quick service walk-up window. So go on out there. You can bring your family. You can bring your friends. There's plenty of places to see the Air and Water Show. And if you want to be really, really close to it, Chicago SUP is going to be renting stand-up paddle boards, $30 an hour this weekend for the Air and Water Show. And you can pay $200 for a 10-hour pass if you want to do that. And that's at North Avenue Beach. And the Chicago Electric Boat Company has BYOB pontoons. We did this. The girls in the newsroom did this one year. Myself, Judy Pyla, Kim Gordon.
This was a couple years ago.
Yeah, we rented one of those pontoon boats. If you get a bunch of people, you know, it's $200, then you could take the pontoon out and do that.
Yeah, sweet.
Yeah.
Was that worth it?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It was so much fun. We had all the girls. I believe Jen Kuiper was there as well, and Julie Mann, and we had Kim Gordon's husband. We bought him a little captain hat, and he drove. He drove us. You know, he was the designated boat captain.
One warning, though.
Yeah.
One warning, and this happens every year. And they've already got the horse patrols out. They've got the special cars out. All along Lakeshore Drive, you will not be allowed to pull over to the side to watch the Air and Water Show.
Yes.
The barricades are up. They're already out there. I drove past them as I drove in.
Yeah.
So if anyone is driving along Lakeshore Drive and think, I'll just pull over.
Mm-hmm.
No. Even the emergency pullover areas are blocked off.
Yeah.
So you will be chased out of there during the show on both days by the police.
That's great advice.
Don't do that.
We're going to be out there for Channel 9 tomorrow. And if I'm not mistaken, the parking lot or the parking garage at North Avenue Beach will be closed off just for the pilots and their parties and whatnot. Not parties that, you know, the people that they're with in the city of Chicago, too. But there's parking by the Lincoln Park Zoo and off of Fulton as well, if you can find a meter. But there's alternative parking, and they're going to be shuttling buses in, too. So, yeah, stay off Lakeshore Drive and don't pull over as you hear the shoo, shoo.
Yeah,
even if you think you're under alien attack.
Was that pretty good?
Shoo. Yeah, shoo. It sounded just like that. Yeah, traffic.
Right.
cars going right by. That's what I was saying.
People comes Andrea again.
People pull over to the side. It's like, cars are still going. Like, what do you think? Yeah, there's a great show, but
I know.
People are still going where they're going.
It's, you know what, though, Don? It's the same people who pull over on Lakeshore Drive to watch the fireworks.
Yeah.
And I always
feel
so sorry for the police. They're like, okay, you can't just stop on Lakeshore Drive and watch the fireworks.
Should we add that to, like, the driver's ed test that you have to perform? Like, some kind of stimuli that would distract you? And if you show a penchant for having to pull over
while
you drive, electrify
the rails, the metal rail.
Oh, God.
The side,
and so now we don't want to kill people.
This is Roger. Don't blame Don.
It's like the third rail on the L.
Right. As they walk out of their car and sit down. All right, I'm moving.
We'll move that to Lakeshore Drive for the weekend. Yeah. Every weekend for the summer.
Right.
I'm sure the city will
every
love
event.
That.
Absolutely.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll have Don's news, and we're going to talk to Vanessa Morris from the Sure Center right after the news and after this on 720 WGN. It's 11:06 in the evening. Patty Vasquez Show with me, Andrea Darlis. I want to get serious here for a few minutes. Talk about an organization that is just, it's wonderful, and everybody should know about this. And I want to give a few facts, first of all, before I bring Vanessa in. 300,000 American children are at risk for being sex trafficked every single year. And you're not going to believe this, but Chicago is in the top five cities in the nation for sex trafficking. So all I can say with these startling and unbelievable numbers, we are so thankful for the Sale of Freedom, which is Vanessa Morris's foundation. Hello, Vanessa. How are you?
Hi. I'm doing great. How are you?
Thank you so much for joining us tonight. I know it's a very serious topic, but it's a Florida-based organization, and you've just opened a safe home in the Chicago suburbs to try to end sex trafficking. It's a problem that I think people don't realize is as big as it is, or at least as big of a problem as it is in the United States and in Chicago.
Right. It's absolutely a national problem, and we are headquartered out of Florida. However, we're a national organization, and our first residential safe home actually launched about a year ago in Chicagoland, and it's thriving. Survivors are doing amazing, and we are preparing to launch our second safe home in the Midwest. So we're so excited to be able to impact more lives there.
When you hear, or when we hear, I mean, we've covered stories like this for WGN Radio here and for Channel 9. When we hear about children being sex trafficked, I don't think people realize the impact that it has on Chicago and the state of Illinois and the Midwest. I think people just see it as, like a Liam Neeson movie, or this happens overseas. How do you make people aware of this horrible problem?
Right. So I think it's about bringing it home. You know, people, like you said, they look at this and they think, oh, this is something I saw in an action film, or I've heard of that. It's only happening overseas. And they have more of an international view, or even, you know, the view of this is girls locked in cages and chained to beds. But really, it's hiding in plain sight in places just like our communities in Chicago. And really, one of the ways that we bring that home is by sharing the reality of this story that we see again and again and again in the survivors we serve. And it's the child who is sexually abused, typically between even just 2 to 4 years old, by someone they know, someone they should be able to trust. And then between the ages of 12 to 14, it's like something snaps. And they run away from home, trying to escape that abuse, and run right into the arms of a skilled predator. They don't know what they're running into. They're a child who's looking for love, protection, security, you know, all the false promises that this trafficker makes to them. And it's a slow fade before eventually they are selling our American children 15 to 40 times every 24 hours, right here in our own backyard.
Again, those numbers, they're real. They're staggering. As you said, Vanessa, young adults are being targeted. I had a friend whose daughter was being targeted on Teen Tinder. I didn't even know there was such a thing as Teen Tinder, but she thought it was, you know, a boy at school or something, and it turned out to be a man who was eventually arrested. But again, this is in her own backyard.
Right, and that's the thing, too, is parents and grandparents and those who work with youth have to be hyper-aware and hyper-vigilant in protecting our kids, knowing the technology, knowing the apps, and knowing that any avenue of technology that your children are on, predators are aware of that. And, of course, that's where they're going to go to target them.
So tell us, this is where you come in. Tell us about Sail of Freedom and what you do to try to stop this.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, when you hear about this issue, it seems so dark and so daunting. It's like, how do we do something to end it, right? But we are on the other side. We get to be on the side where we are seeing solutions implemented and lives changed and teens and children prevented from ever being exploited and needing our services later on in life. And we do that through four different programs that we have nationwide and specifically in Chicagoland and throughout the Midwest. So we mentioned our safe home, and that's where, you know, the kids who fell through the cracks of the system, the kids who ended up aging out, right? And they, I always say, like, no one's looking for the missing 18-year-old prostitute, right?
Right.
And so they've been labeled as this marginalized population in society when really they're that kid who was growing up wanting to get away from the abuse and ended up being trapped in this life. We are able to give them a safe home, a place where they can get a new beginning, where they can get a personalized education plan, trauma therapy, medical aid, life skills, mentorship, a chance to rekindle the safe relationships with their family or with their children, and really give them a new, fresh start in life that they so deserve. We also partner really closely with Cook County Sheriffs and with the jail system and with our prostitution court diversion program. So that's our outreach program on the streets and in the jails, working relentlessly to reach these survivors. And then we have our awareness program, because obviously if people don't know, they can't do anything about it. And it's vital that we know and that we can take action against it so we can save our kids. And that's where our prevention program comes in, where we're in the schools, we're in youth groups and in clubs for teenagers, and really getting the education out there so that they can protect themselves and be advocates for their peers.
Absolutely. Sail of Freedom actively confronts the issue of sex trafficking and is now being upheld as the national model for how to effectively bring solutions to survivors who have been exploited. Let's talk about some of the survivor stories. I'm sure, Vanessa, when they're rescued or when they're found, are they thinking, oh my gosh, you found me, you're going to help me? I didn't even think anybody knew about me or knew I existed.
Right. Yeah, and absolutely, because they feel like they're forgotten. You know, and that's where our team comes in and shares with them how incredibly valuable they are and how loved and how they do deserve to journey into freedom and they discover their brilliance. You know, I think of the girls who have come into our program who maybe they were served through our outreach program, and our outreach program just relentlessly pursued them. I say, you know, it could take between 7 to 9 touch points with our outreach team. So they'll go out to the streets and they make contact with the survivor. And maybe at first she's timid, you know, just like the girls in our program, they don't always self-identify as a sex trafficking survivor. Right.
Right.
And, certainly don't believe that they deserve anything better because they've been told that lie again and again and again since childhood. Mm-hmm. So they make a connection with our outreach team. And, you know, we've had them say to us before, I love what one survivor said. She said, you know, I didn't even think I could ever make a difference in my life. Like, I could never move forward. I could never get free. I could never get away from him. Like, my trafficker held me in bondage for years, ever since I was 14 years old and on the streets. But I was arrested and I was in jail, and Sail of Freedom was there leading groups, having a presence in that place. Then I would be on the streets and he'd be pimping me out and selling me, you know, every single night. And Sail of Freedom was there. And so I decided, like, I should just take a chance on this. Like, I should just say yes. And she did. And she came into our program. And now who was once just this little girl who said, you know, I was afraid of my dad or my stepdad coming into my room at night because of the things that he'd do to me. I ran away and I ran right into the arms of someone who was an abuser, but I had no idea that they were going to sell me and to traffic me all across the nation. And then I came to Sail of Freedom and they started sharing love with me. They started telling me how resilient and how brilliant I am. And I didn't believe it at first, but then they showed me, okay, you can have what you dream of. And we have girls say again and again, like, I don't know how to dream. But then slowly but surely they come into our program and they start to step into getting their GED, and it doesn't stop there. Then they get a full ride scholarship to college, but it doesn't stop there. Then they become the top of their class in their college. These girls are brilliant, and we get to watch them blossom and step into the career that they've never even known was possible for them, and become that healthy individual in our community who's giving back, who's thriving. And that's what we want to see, you know, what they were always meant to be but never given the opportunity to become.
You literally are saving lives. We're talking to Vanessa Morris from Sail of Freedom, and these numbers, these stories that you're telling, again, are local, they're real, they're Chicago, they're the suburbs. This
right.
does happen in our own backyard. And you mentioned your partnership with the Cook County Sheriff's Department, and we've had Tom Dart on many times, Vanessa, talking about this issue and how these young women are targeted either through Craigslist or a friend, a quote-unquote friend of a friend says, oh, hey, you know what,
right.
you want a safe haven? Go meet Mr. So-and-so. And then they
right.
end up in this situation. So this is truly happening. And you know, as I said, I'm glad of your partnership with Cook County, because I think Sheriff Dart has really brought this issue to the forefront as well.
Right. It's been invaluable. We're so grateful. Partnering with the United States Attorney's Office, with the FBI, with Cook County, I mean, local law enforcement, hands on the ground, it's been absolutely invaluable so that we can actually reach these lives and give them that second chance.
You also provide residential programming for the survivors as well. You mentioned the GED classes and job placement, but also mm-hmm. life skills and medical and legal assistance.
Right. Right. Yeah. And, you know, we take for granted so many things. And I will never forget the story of one of our volunteers who he's great. And he volunteers hands on in our house and he does some handyman work around. And he was telling me about how he was unclogging one of the sinks in our kitchen. And one of the survivors came up to him and said, hey, can you show me how to use this? And it was a can opener.
No kidding.
And things that we don't even fathom. They've never had the opportunity to learn. And they've never had the opportunity to learn how to cook and how to sew and how to clean and mm-hmm. how to prepare a resume and a budget. And so we give them all those tools that they need. And 75% of the graduates from our residential program never return to the street.
Good.
And 100% of them are pursuing their educational and career goals. And that's something we're so proud of them for.
Well, it's absolutely invaluable, the services that you provide and the work that you do, you and Elizabeth and everybody over at Sail of Freedom. If people want to get information, or, I mean, obviously, if someone wants to talk to you anonymously, they can do this as well. How do they go about doing that and finding you?
Sure. So there are a few different ways that they can find us. They can go to our website, which is www.sailoffreedom.com, and Sailah is S-E-L-A-H, or they can give us a call. This is a number where survivors can call if they need to speak to our outreach team, and they can do an intake over the phone, or if people are wanting to know more about how to get involved. And that is 1-888-8-FREE-ME, and they can call that from anywhere in the nation. We also encourage people to get involved by what we say is raise your hand, raise your voice, raise your resources. So they can get involved by volunteering hands-on. They can raise their voice by hosting a party with a purpose. And there's more information about that on our website, how they can raise awareness with their circle. And, of course, raise your resources is donating to our cause, because the women in our program and the youth that we serve, they don't pay any money for the programs that we provide them, but they are literally saving their life. And we do have an event coming up that we want to encourage all of our Chicago champions to come out to. It's on Sunday, September 16th at 12:30, and it's called Rock the Boat Against Sex Trafficking. It's going to be on the Anita D2 yacht right on Lake Michigan. It's going to be an amazing, amazing, fabulous event to really raise funds, raise awareness for a great cause, and all of the proceeds go to our programs for survivors. And there's more information about that on our site too.
Absolutely. And we're going to link this. We're going to put this up as a podcast and put all this information on our website as well, WGNradio.com. And try and attend, or at least make a donation if you can't attend, the September 16th fundraiser on the Anita D. It sounds like a great time, and obviously for a very, very good cause.
Right. Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Hey, tell everyone very quickly. I've been saying Sela Foundation, Sela Freedom, and as you said, it's S-E-L-A-H. What does that mean?
So Sela is actually a Hebrew word, and it means to pause, rest, reflect. And the survivors in our program have never been given the opportunity to just pause, right? To just breathe. They've been sold, like I said, 15 to 40 times every 24 hours for an average of up to 7 years. So to have them come into our program and just, you know, decompress and have an opportunity to discover who they're created to be, that's the greatest gift.
And to dream again.
Right. Absolutely.
Vanessa, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it. And as I said, we'll link all of this on our website. And thanks again for your time and bringing awareness to this terrible issue that we all should know about. So thanks, Vanessa.
Thank you so much.
Have a great night. That's Vanessa Morris from Sela Freedom. And again, the website, S-E-L-A-H, freedom, all one word, .com. Back after this on WGN. It's 11:36, inching closer to midnight. That means inching closer to 12:35, where we can play Roger's What's That From? Highly anticipated portion of the show that we are all waiting for. But first and foremost, going to take care of a little business. Some more things you should know. It's the Patty Vasquez Show with me, Andrea Darlis. Patty is on vacation. Katie McFadden is the deputy director of the Sierra Club of Illinois. And Nicole Cantello is with AFGE Local 704, which represents the EPA workers in Chicago. And we say good evening to both of them. Hi, Nicole and Katie.
Good evening.
Hi, Nicole. And we're going to patch Katie in here, too. Hi, Katie.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Okay, who's going to pick up a daughter, a child?
Nicole is.
Okay, Nicole, so are you okay on time?
Yeah, I'm fine right now. Thank you.
Okay, good. Well, the reason we wanted to talk to you guys, there's so much going on right now with the environment and especially Chicago. The big story of the week was Lisa Madigan is suing the Trump Hotel and Tower because apparently she's alleging they're using water from the Chicago River for its cooling systems, and that violates the Clean Water Act. So first of all, Katie, why don't you explain to us what this means and why this is a bad thing?
Sure. So everyone knows the Trump Hotel Tower in Chicago, right? Its placement is so scenic and strategic in the middle of our downtown, right along the Chicago River. So this hotel has been, dodging regulations that protect the river and that protect the wildlife for years. The building uses river water for its cooling systems, and that the intake that it does from the river is actually governed by the Clean Water Act. But based on the Trump Tower's own records, we're able to see that every day this building takes in and spits back nearly 20 million gallons of waters. And so, without the protections required by law for fish, to don't get sucked up in building and killed. And that's really the regulations that Trump Tower was not following. And the attorney general decided to step in and say, hey, it's time for Trump Tower to finally start complying with the Clean Water Act.
Right. And this just wasn't something that was decided in a day or two. I know the Sierra Club and a lot of other environmental groups began sounding the alarm on these violations not only earlier this year, but in 2012, I believe, the hotel was accused of lacking the proper permits to release pollutants into the river.
Yeah, I mean, that means that ever since, this building has been in operation, it hasn't had the proper permits under the Clean Water Act. So, yeah, we sounded the alarm, and this was so egregious that the Attorney General decided to pick up this case and take them to court.
Right. And this, and I prefaced it by saying this wasn't just decided in the past year or two, because this had nothing to do with President Trump. This was the owners of the building, which he started and I believe turned over to a locally based company, but still had a stake in it at that point. And so this has been going on now for about 6 years that these violations have been occurring.
And yes, and to be clear, you know, yes, it's Donald Trump's, you know, personal business, even mm-hmm. though as president, he's saying we want, you know, crystal clean water, we want clean air. But as a business operator, obviously, his actions say otherwise. For years, they've been violating the Clean Water Act. And it's worth noting that it is the Governor Rauner's administration that's been turning a blind eye to these violations for years. So, you know, the governor's complicit in this, and we're hoping that finally this will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law so we can protect the Chicago River.
Okay, explain to me, either Nicole or Katie, how it works. I mean, I know we have some of the cleanest, most wonderful water here in Chicago. I drink right from the tap. Our water filtration plant on Lake Michigan is second to none. It's very clean. How does it work, though? I mean, does a business have to say, all right, we're going to start draining water from or taking water from the lake or the river? Do they get a choice? Kind of walk me through the process of how it works for our water.
I could take that one, Katie.
Okay.
So when Trump Tower decided to start operating, it had to get a permit under the Clean Water Act in order to do what it's doing, in order to have this intake of cooling water that it needs to operate. And so that's how it first started. They didn't get this permit that they needed to get. And so then they immediately fell into noncompliance. And that lasted for some time. And then the Attorney General decided to sue them when they violated the law like that by not getting a permit.
Okay. But all businesses have to do this, correct? I mean, if I'm, you know, going to build Darless Tower, which would be fantastic, I wouldn't be working. But if I'm going to, right, Nicole and Katie, if I'm going to, this is any business, not just the Trump Tower, all the new businesses on the Riverwalk, City Winery,
right.
O'Brien's, they have to go through this process.
Right. If you're going to use water from the Chicago River in this way, you have to get a permit. So it's all about using the water as intake and cooling. And if you do that, then you have to get a Clean Water Act permit.
Okay. And when you were talking about the fish before, the fish can be killed as they're trapped against the water intake screens. So that's a big problem, too. If the fish are dying in the river, and then just that creates a major problem as well.
That's a big problem, especially since we've been undergoing, you know, years of work to bring the Chicago River, you know, back to being clean and healthy, and to know that we have, you know, this huge 98-story, you know, tower that's sucking in 20 million gallons of water, and our governor is not forcing it into compliance. That's a pretty big issue, you know, when we're really trying hard to get the Chicago River back on track.
And also,
right, and by cleaning the Chicago River, we've also had more species of fish than ever before. So having all those fish trapped is really not a good thing.
Right. And I read an article in the Tribune last week that said that this summer there's about a dozen buildings that are using river water for cooling, and all of the other buildings are okay and they're in compliance.
No, exactly. It's very serious not to have a Clean Water Act permit. It's a violation of federal and state law, and most businesses comply immediately. The fact that this business did not comply for years is extremely serious. Act and could subject them to penalties as well.
Let's talk about the river and the Riverwalk and all the beautification projects that have gone on. I know we've extended the Riverwalk from basically the lake. It was the lake to about Michigan, and now it's clear west all the way, at least several more blocks. And there's new restaurants, and boats can kind of go up and down now. And they've extended the bike path. That's been really a coup for Chicago, has it not?
This is part and parcel of all the work that people like Sierra Club and the Illinois Attorney General and others and the folks at EPA have done to clean up the river. The river is becoming a more and more beautiful amenity for the city. There's more and more businesses, boats, and that are attracted to this amenity.
and it's really becoming a great place for people in the city to go.
I just, again, another great article, and Channel 9 did a story about this too, that the river, there's been such a concerted effort to clean up the river. I know one of our sister stations as well did a did an employee day where they cleaned up the river, and they're turning some of the, near that Whole Foods kind of north and canal area, they're building, is it not flower beds, but vegetable beds out there by Goose Island? They're putting new natural habitat out there.
That's right. Katie, you want to talk about that? Or
yeah, that's exactly the what we should be proud of here in the city of Chicago, right? The river runs through so much of our city, so many of our, you know, vibrant neighborhoods. And instead of, you know, as we're cleaning the actual water and you know, developing along the riverbed, it's a riverfront itself. I mean, this is an asset for the city that we should be proud of. And so as we're, you know, developing alongside, we should be making sure the water's clean so we can do things like plant vegetables and kayak and you know, bring our children, you know, into the water and all those sorts of things. So it is really a success story that we need to continue instead of going backwards.
I took a friend of mine kayaking. We went up to that the kayak and the canoe facility right at North Avenue, right at North, yeah, and by the Home Depot there. And it's so nice. And I did it with a group here from the radio station. And then I brought another friend, and she immediately, the first thing she said is, "Wow, the river was so clean. I didn't expect that. I expected to see things floating in it." And I said, "No, that it's really almost new and improved right now."
You know, I put in there as well, and it's so fun, right? It's such a neat view of the city, a new way to sort of see the downtown. And you know, I think people are pleasantly surprised, and I think people are more and more thinking about it as a place to recreate, as a place to, you know, go get a drink after work, and really a centerpiece for the city.
We are getting bombarded with a lot of texts, ladies, people saying thank you to the Sierra Club and, of course, the Illinois EPA and all the workers for keeping the river clean, all the beautification projects that have been going on. Some people saying, this is from the 815, if you want to use the water, you must use it in the most efficient and law-abiding way possible, no matter who you are.
Totally. Thank you.
Yeah, so you're getting a lot of support out there, too. Why is our water, what is it about the Chicago water that makes it so clean and so pure? Is it strictly the purification plant?
We get our drinking water from Lake Michigan, and so that's one of the cleanest drinking water sources in the nation. And we are really lucky that we have the lake in our backyard to give us our drinking water.
What other environmental concerns are we facing in Chicago? How are we doing as a national city overall when it comes to the EPA and our environmental issues? Are we doing okay if we were to get a grade?
Well, you know, I represent the workers at the federal EPA. So mm-hmm. We are now being bombarded federally by rollbacks of environmental regulations. So from that standpoint, as far as the new regulations that we could have that could protect our environment, we're not doing so great because, as you know, we have Trump in the White House, and he is stopping the workers at EPA from doing what's best for the city as far as environmental regulations.
So how do we help? I mean, what can we do as residents? Because, you know, I always start the show by saying it's the greatest city in the world, which it really is. I'm born and raised here. How do we keep our city clean? What can we do?
One thing that's just critically important that we're thinking about right now, especially with, you know, 81 days until Election Day, is knowing that President Trump is in the White House, that, you know, yes, we were just able to, you know, get Scott Pruitt to resign as EPA administrator, who was just a disaster on so many levels and rolling back environmental protections, as Nicole just outlined. Andrew Wheeler, new EPA administrator, not too much better of a track record, nor, you know, is he proposing anything much different than Scott Pruitt and Donald Trump's agenda. It's critical that here in Illinois, on November, that we actually elect champions up and down the ballot who really do care about environmental protections. Unfortunately, right now, our Governor Bruce Rauner, is not showing that he is someone that wants to stand up for the environment. Like I said, he's the one who sort of let this Trump Tower violation go for so long. His Environmental Protection Agency, just last week, he was at a coal rally in downstate Illinois, mm-hmm. with a number of Trump's coal executive friends trying to bring coal back to Illinois. That is not what we need to do here in Illinois to take action on climate, to make sure that cities like Chicago have clean air to breathe. So really thinking about the environment as you go into cast your ballot in November is critically important.
Also want to mention, too, we actually just got a text about this, too. I know the EPA just finalized, I think it was a $25 or $26 million cleanup for the East Chicago site that they've had a lot of issues in the past. I guess they're going to be disposing of material off-site as well. So someone congratulating or being happy with the EPA saying that the contaminated material in the East Chicago plant will, in fact, be removed from that site. So that's another step in the right direction, all these the cleanups that that are occurring in our area.
We're trying. I think one thing that really helped there is that folks kept their pressure on their elected officials. So even voting in November is very important. But another thing you can do is contact your elected officials today and continue to tell them that clean air and clean water is really important to you, and they need to keep the pressure on at the State House and also in the federal legislature to keep the environmental rollbacks from happening.
Also, I want to ask you ladies, too, before we let you go, I know it's big weekend, Air and Water Show, Jazz Fest, a lot of people coming down, the beaches will be open. I have noticed, more so this summer, the beaches have remained open consistently. I know a few years back, it was just we had such heavy rainfall that the bacteria levels were a little high and they were just closing the beaches to be safe. But is that kind of been the case this summer, that the beaches have been open because the water is doing very well when it comes to the bacteria levels?
Well, the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District has been taking a lot of steps to control that rainwater. And yeah. So you are seeing more and more control of that. So you're seeing the beaches close less and less each year. And that's, again, something that EPA negotiated with the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District. That case is a case that EPA took against the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District to make sure that they took all the steps they could to keep the beaches open.
That's a great sign, isn't it?
It is a good sign. We're very pleased with it.
Well, you both are doing a wonderful job. We want to thank you for all you do to keep our water clean and our environment clean. Nicole Cantello and Katie McFadden from the Sierra Club. Nicole is with the AFGE Local 704 representing the EPA workers in Chicago. Katie is the deputy director of the Sierra Club of Illinois. So again, thank you for keeping our water clean. Get out to the beaches and go kayaking on the river.
Thanks for having me on.
Okay, both of you, thank you so much. Get to the airport, Nicole. She's picking up her daughter. So that's very cool. All right. Any more information? You can just go to Sierra Club of Illinois' website and keep posted. We'll keep you posted, of course, on Lisa Madigan's lawsuit forcing Trump Tower to try to clean up some of their cooling systems that are causing a lot of problems in violation of the Clean Water Act. All right. News coming up after this on 720 WGN. 11:55 in Chicago, Illinois. 720 WGN. Thanks for all your texts and emails about the Sierra Club. They were just on talking about the river and keeping it clean. Everybody really in agreement saying let's keep our water and keep the environment clean. Joe, you have a comment. Thanks for calling.
Oh, you betcha, kiddo. Am I on yet?
You are. You're on the air.
Gee, there was such a smooth transition that I wasn't aware.
Oh, thank you, Joe.
Good segue. I'd like to give you guys I applaud the Sierra Club beyond belief. Kudos, if you will.
Yeah, they do a great job.
Alpha and Omega. Alpha is Singapore. You're fined and can spend time in prison for dropping a gum wrapper or spitting on the streets.
Wow.
That's the Alpha.
Mm-hmm.
The Omega is India, and to a large start, still China. The last, you know, Olympics, whatever.
That's right.
Odd cars travel this day, that car the other day. Factories shut down. So we're doing a pretty good job in the United States of, you know, limiting regulations, still maintaining the environment, if you will. But by far and away, we have to get the rest of the world in concert with our efforts, if you will.
Absolutely. Great points. I didn't know that about those two, the Alpha and the Omega, but about Singapore especially.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And the one other final point I'd add is, you know, you folks generally tend to be conservative. Mm-hmm. I mean, correction, liberal, what am I talking about? Is there any other company in Chicago that the EPA has explored to find out if they're discharging water that's higher temperature other than Trump Towers?
That's a great question, Joe. Thank you for your comment. I got to get to a break, but the answer to that is no. There are 12 companies that borrow and use water from the Chicago River. They are all in compliance except Trump. That's why Lisa Madigan filed the suit. And again, this investigation was started in 2012, well before Donald Trump was president. Back after this on WGN. 12:07 in Chicago, 720 WGN, Patty Vasquez Show with me, Andrea Darlis. Patty is coming back on Monday, and I will have a couple of days off. I believe we'll be back together either Wednesday or Thursday, and then I'm off on Friday. So we'll have a little reunion here either on Wednesday or Thursday, and then I'll be on vacation for about a week. I'll miss you guys. But look what I found. Isn't that cool? I found the sound effects box here.
Ooh,
Aubrey just showed me.
Sweet.
I like this one.
Ow. Again, push.
Thank you. Wait, there's more.
Ow.
Yeah.
This is fantastic. Boy. Michael, how come you didn't show me this earlier in the week?
I didn't know you would be so intrigued.
Do you know what that is? Yeah. Okay, I have three stories here. I'm calling the segment three stories.
Okay.
So what do you guys want to hear? Do you want to hear Cards Against Humanity is hiring card writers?
Ooh, I saw that one.
Yeah.
Or Netflix is going to interrupt you as you binge.
Huh?
What?
Mm-hmm.
Don't do that.
Or Time Out Chicago has come up with their top 30 things, best things to do in Chicago. They just came out with this. Some interesting things on here.
It's a different take on the
top
30 things.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not like Navy Pier,
which is
awesome. I think
I'd be interested in that.
Okay. Roger, you like that one? Don, what do you like?
I could do that. I do want to hear about things in Chicago, although I kind of want to hear about the Netflix thing, too.
Okay. Michael?
Yeah, I'm going Netflix, Cards, and then just to be the outlier.
Okay. All right. We'll do Netflix. We'll try to get to all of them before Roger comes in here. And by the way, Roger, we're excited to do your movie tonight. What's it from? Aubrey, who we recruited last year, he already came in. He's ready for his part.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh.
He said he was just circling the console and helping me find different sound effects.
Yeah.
But I don't believe it.
He's amped.
I think he's excited.
Aubrey and his cats.
Aubrey, go back in.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Okay, here's the Netflix story. First of all, I have to ask you guys, what do you binge on Netflix? Is there anything that you watch or you binge or you're waiting for?
Oh, wow.
Are you in the middle of?
Oh, yeah. Big time.
I'm not a big binger.
Oh, see, I am.
But I will wait for series to come out, like some of the Marvel series that has been on Netflix.
Okay.
I will watch them, and then if I'm interested, I'll watch the whole thing. If not, no big deal.
I won't go back to, actually,
I did. There's one series, but I saw it originally when it was on TV, and that was The West Wing.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah,
and
you did tell me you were watching
ago,
The West Wing
I watched
again.
The entire series. Incessantly, and it was awesome.
Don, what about you? Do you binge anything?
Yeah, I binged Ozark last week. And
I'm on season two of that.
Oh, gosh. I'm still recovering from the first season, and I will fly right into that thing because that's really good.
Okay, so that's what you could binge. Michael, do you binge anything on Netflix?
Yes, I do. I really loved Wild Wild Country.
I didn't see that.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one.
It was an amazing documentary about this cult that took over a small, I think it was Oregonian town, and how they brought in Rolls Royces and just flipped this small town upside down. And besides that, I will always watch The Office from beginning to end before I fall asleep.
No kidding. That's very cool. I binge everything. And I did Orange is the New Black most recently.
Yeah, sure.
House of Cards is coming back in November.
What?
Really?
Yeah.
No Spacey this year.
No
right?
Spacey. Robin Wright's the president now.
Oh.
Right? So, yeah, so I'll. Right? I'll try and get through that in a weekend.
Nice.
The fastest was Orange is the New Black because I wanted to get through it. I wasn't completely blown away by this season.
Oh, yeah. I kind of stopped watching that in season four. I'm not really sure why.
That was a good time to stop watching because that's one where one was great, two was okay, three was four was you know, just kind of.
Yeah, right.
It's almost like, here's another one you guys should watch. It's with Gillian Anderson. And the guy who was in 50 Shades of Grey, that actor, I can't think of his name.
Whoa, Mr. Grey?
Yeah, Mr. Grey. And it's called The Fall. And it's about a serial killer.
Whoa.
And you find out very quickly he's the serial killer. And she's like, we know it, but nobody else does. I think it's episode two that you find it out. Or maybe even in one. So it's not a spoiler. And Gillian Anderson who, by the way, she's a great actress.
Yeah.
Holy cow. I mean, I hadn't seen her in a lot since The X-Files, but that's a good one, and that's only two seasons. And okay. each season is only, I think, 6 or 7 episodes.
Oh, totally doable.
Yeah. That's doable in like 2 days.
Yeah, exactly.
God.
Yeah.
God, so lame.
I think I've watched Frasier, the whole series, like twice through in a couple of months on Netflix, too. Yeah, I leave stuff on, and I'll just let it run.
So, Roger, when you watch The West Wing and Michael, when you watch The Office, you've seen all the episodes, you're just rewatching them?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yes,
yeah.
I love that show that much.
I've done it with Friends
yeah.
a bunch, too.
Oh,
yeah.
Friends is such a good show, too.
Well, here's the problem. Netflix, this is from today, Netflix is going to now interrupt its series binges with video ads for its, its other series, right? Wait, I don't like that idea.
That's right.
Bad Netflix.
You get whipped, Netflix. That's horrible.
And guess when it's going to start?
No.
When? Now.
No.
Yes.
When I go home and I start to binge Ozark Season 2.
Mm-hmm. Effective this week for some users, video ads for Netflix series will air between episodes and in some cases during episodes.
This is the beginning, you know, to the end.
Oh,
yeah, except for those who pay a little premium in order to avoid said
right, because you already pay for the Netflix.
Right, right.
Well, this is akin to some of the other channels. We have Roku at home, so we get a ton of channels that we can subscribe to. The majority of them are for free.
Uh-huh.
So you get to watch a lot of these series that you see on Netflix and a lot of the movies that you can get on Amazon Prime and Netflix for free.
Mm-hmm.
But every 8 or 9 minutes, it's like a TV series. They break for a commercial right in the middle. It just stops.
Oh, no.
And they air about 2 commercials back to back, and it's always the same commercials.
Yeah, Hulu
throughout the entire
Hulu does
movie.
It too, right? Yeah,
yeah.
They have a tiered membership where if you pay X amount per month, you get so many commercials, and then if you pay higher, you get 0 commercials. This what Netflix is starting to do now. That disturbs me. I think they're going to start entering ads into it.
Oh, I do too. It's almost like getting an app. Remember when you play Words with Friends or whatever the app would be, Trivia Crack, and then you pay whatever it would be, and then they finally lowered the price, but then if you didn't, then when they jack the price back up, you had to watch an ad before you can play the next round.
Yeah, exactly.
I hate that.
I know, it's terrible because they're getting subscription money and ad money. You're like,
right,
leave me alone.
And that's how they're making money.
Yeah,
you know, without that, they go broke.
So. They're double dipping.
But Netflix isn't going broke. Like, you don't just get to pump ads into it. They're doing fine.
Yeah. Now, okay. So here's Netflix response. It's interesting you say that. They said, we are testing whether surfacing recommendations. I'm calling them annoying ads.
Mm-hmm.
We are testing whether surfacing recommendations between episodes helps members discover stories that they'll enjoy faster.
No, you interrupt my binge is what you do.
I know. The reasoning Netflix's statement says comes from its last controversial decision. That's when they were adding auto-playing videos complete with unmutable audio.
Yeah, that's right.
Remember that? While browsing through content. Mm-hmm. It's like watching something, I don't know, Grey's Anatomy or something that's you're only maybe a week late on or 2 weeks late on, or The Good Fight, and you go on demand or Comcast, and I think AT&T does this too, and you can't fast forward.
Oh, yeah, right. And you see some stuff that might spoil the plot because you're a little behind.
Yeah, and you can't, exactly.
Right, and you have no choice. You got to sit there horrified. You're like, no.
I hate that. Netflix offered one major rebuttal to at least one Reddit claim, pointing out that the ads for Netflix content are entirely skippable. They said that they will be skippable. So maybe you can fast forward through these.
Well, you wait like on, this happens sometimes when you go to YouTube and you play a video, but suddenly an ad pops up first and you can skip the ad in 5, 4, 3, there's that countdown.
Sure. I don't mind that, Roger. I don't mind skipping an ad in 5 seconds.
Yeah.
I hate where you have to watch the 30-second ones.
Exactly.
Ugh, yeah. It feels like a waste of time.
And don't you guys think that they shouldn't do that before a news story? I mean, if it's maybe a TV show or a video or like a how-to video, that maybe I can see. But I hate when I'm trying to go to a news story and I have to watch this whole 30-second
video. Oh, yeah. Well,
video.
Especially if it's like, you know, you see a headline that really grabs you or something that concerns you locally. Like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know?
And we are doing it for work, people.
Right. Exactly.
More often than not.
I need to get there right now.
I hate that. Annoying things that bother you about Netflix, Hulu, anything. I know these are first world problems. 312-981-7200. You know, gosh, I have to watch it, a 30-second ad instead of, you know, pay my monthly Netflix subscription.
Right. They're going to interrupt the viewing of the sixth episode in a row for me at 3 a.m.
Right, exactly. I can't think. What did you say, Don? It's interrupting my binge.
Yeah, it's interrupting my binge. It throws me right out of that mental calm I've gotten into.
I hate that. Well, but there's been a lot of outcry at Reddit's Netflix community, which has largely been negative.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. Netflix spokesperson indicated to ours that the company was mindful of chatter on social channels, but they're focused far more on, not money, squarely on how users interact with the new video ads. So, in other words, if users, I guess, engage with the promotions, Netflix will roll them out to many more users. So, I guess, Don't engage.
Leave it alone. Get up and run to the kitchen like the old school commercials.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Hit pause. Mm-hmm. But I do like Michael brought up those cult shows. I love. Do you guys watch the one? Is it called Cold Justice with the two female? There's a lawyer and a detective, and they find, or Cold Justice. That's what it's called.
Hmm.
And they go and they solve all these cold cases. And they do it in 30 minutes. It's fantastic.
Whoa. Yeah. No, I haven't seen those. That's got to make anyone else who worked on those cold cases feel kind of like crap if they're wrapping them up in 30 minutes.
That's what I feel like, too. So it'll be, you know, say, just for example, Gary, Indiana or someplace, and this case is 30 years old, but they're going to give it one more try. So they bring in these two ladies. Again, one is a detective, one's a lawyer. Mm. And the detective, they put this board up, and they're like, all right, it could be this person. It could be, it's a whiteboard. And I thought, wow, did these people not, and this is not, I just said Gary, Indiana as an example. It's all over the country.
Right.
I'm thinking, do these people not think of this? Right. Like, let's start from square one and talk to the ex-husband.
Seriously. Yeah. Putting up a storyboard in general. Like, that's a great first step.
Exactly. Yeah. Another one. God, I sound like I have no life. Another one I binge. Speaking of storyboards, it's called Marcella. You can see this theme of my life right now.
And this is telling.
She's a detective. She's a British detective.
Nice.
And she's called back to work after 7 years. She decided to stay home and raise her kids. And then her husband cheats on her, and she has to become the breadwinner of the family because he leaves.
Damn.
And she solves all these murders now.
Mm.
And they're pretty violent. I mean, I could see why it's on Netflix. They're pretty violent. One's a child murderer.
Wow.
And she starts taking those erase markers, those dry erase markers, and writing them on her window.
Oh.
And then you learn that she's got this deep, dark secret that she's mentally ill, and she's hiding a secret.
Whoa.
And you don't find out at the end of season two what the secret is, so I can't tell you guys.
Jeez. I do trust British detectives more than American ones for some reason.
I don't know. I think they're both good, but the British detectives are just, those series are really good.
Yeah. Yeah, I like them.
So you guys going to go home and binge now?
Most likely.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
Probably.
12:20.
Go home and sleep.
We'll be back after this on 720 WGN. Texts are pouring in. Have we seen The Crown? I've not seen it, but Dave Ennett loves The Crown. Another texter says, sorry to tell you this, but I've owned the Netflix stock forever, and I like when you guys watch. Well, we're probably going to get stuck watching anyway. That's funny.
Yeah.
For $20 a month, you can go commercial free. I didn't know you can go commercial free. I guess I never went that far down on the options.
Well, me neither.
I just took the cheapy option.
that sounds like Hulu. I don't know if that's Netflix or not, because Netflix doesn't have commercials. They're just showing the promos for their own shows. With Hulu, they're the ones that have like the ads you'd want to skip, actually.
That's very true. Hopefully this Netflix, hopefully it all just goes away.
Ugh.
Just go away, ads. Okay, Michael wanted Don, you wanted this too, the Cards Against Humanity hiring card writer story.
Oh, yeah.
$40 an hour.
What?
That's pretty good. It's really good.
That's great to submit cards.
Don, come on. You make that in the newsroom. Roger, you too. Stop.
Wait. How much? 20? Who got the raise?
Do you get paid,
Who
Roger?
Got the raise?
You get paid for this?
Right.
Huh? You
card?
Get to pay?
All right. I have to be honest with you guys. So my goddaughter,
ran
who is now... My goddaughter is like 20... Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let's talk about that after. So my goddaughter is now 21 years old. She's adorable. I love her so much, Natalie. And she is she's very successful now. In her career, but when she was about 14 years old, I always said to her, what do you want for Christmas? What do you want for your birthday? So she would say, you know, whatever she wanted. I'd try and get her something nice because she, at the time, was my only goddaughter. I have two now. But anyway, when she was about 14 years old, said, I really want this new card game that my friends and I want to play. It's called Cards Against Humanity. I had no clue what it was. It literally had just come out.
Mm-hmm.
I had to order it on Amazon. I had to pre-order it. it came. I had it directly sent to her house as a gift. She called and she's like, "You're the best godmother ever. I love you. Thank you so much." Her mom called me probably a half an hour later and she said, "What did you just send my daughter?"
Yeah.
I said, "It's this cool card game that they're playing, I guess, you know, at school now and stuff." I'm thinking, you know, like Uno.
Right.
It wasn't Uno.
Go fish.
Go fish, right? Old maid. No, it's Cards Against Humanity.
Yeah.
So
there's some interesting posings in there.
The popular and raunchy card game company is offering $40 an hour to people who want to be a part of its pool and remote contributors. Now, in order to apply, you have to submit your best 15 white cards and 5 black cards.
Okay.
So
I don't even know what the heck.
Okay, explain the game, one of you guys, because you've played. I don't think I've played it.
I know
once.
About it,
Don,
but
I'm
never
let you
played
take
it.
This.
All right, Don.
Okay, so I haven't played it in a long time, but if I recall, white cards are sort of like family friendly or like normal, just
like would you ever kind of thing.
Yeah, like okay. Regular topics to throw questions out. You know, have you done this or whatever? And then the black cards are the raunchy ones. So that's kind of. Yeah, that's the one I think that's kind of like any.
Thank you.
Yeah, right. Have you ever? Whoosh, yeah, exactly.
You know, there's a whip sound effect on there too. You know.
Whoa.
No, that's the slap sound effect.
No, this says whip.
That says whip.
That's whip. There's like a little glass shatter. I
there's
think,
another
too.
One.
It sounds really painful.
It sounds more of a whip.
Listen to you. Are you whip connoisseur?
You got to understand.
Speaking
I
of
had
cards,
that machine.
Speaking of Cards Against Humanity, Roger's life.
There you go. Yeah, Roger.
Whoa.
Would that be a black card? Or a white card?
Sounds like
hello.
A whole bunch of black cards.
Whatever card has the whip on it, it sounds like.
Roger, we're going to have to play this game. Maybe one night instead of what's that from, we can just do a quick round of Cards Against Humanity.
That'd be fun.
We'll clean it up.
I think you have to
fun,
teach
yeah.
me how to, how long has it learned how to play?
Yeah, you guys will have to teach us
really?
How to play.
It's very easy to pick up. It's when I played it, it was like I had never before, and you go one round, you watch it, and then you're into it.
Boy, Don's memory came back fast. I haven't played it in 20 years. But.
Well, you know, the whip sound, that's what triggered it. That's what got me back.
Yeah. Okay, now on the application page, it offers some tips on how to make the best white and black cards, along with some examples. The company strongly encourages historically marginalized communities to apply. Oh, and hot singles.
Hot singles?
Michael and Don.
I had to throw that in there.
What?
You guys are hot singles.
They asked for that? They asked for those to apply?
I'm not making that up. Seriously.
Whoa. Okay.
You know, more jobs should ask for that.
I know.
I think on the resume.
It feels inclusive.
And single dads.
And
that's what it says.
Man, there's discrimination here.
So wait a second. Hot singles and single dads?
Hot single dads and hot singles.
Okay, cool. All right, so if I go pick up
you're
a kid
gonna do
somewhere,
this. I know you're gonna do this. I'm glad you I think that's great. I think you should.
And then just apply. I'll be like I'll just take a couple of pictures of myself and my new kid and then I'll apply for this job.
Borrow a child.
Yeah, just for the day. Just for the application.
Okay, and Roger, I wanted to get your story in too, but I don't know if I'm gonna have time. I'll do a quickie for you since that's kind of the theme of the night. Okay. Best things to do in Chicago, the 606, Montrose Beach, and then it gives a bunch of restaurants that I've never heard of or been to. Beraria Zaragoza in Archer Heights.
Okay.
The Phoenix in Armour Square. Calumet Fisheries, which is awesome. You guys should go there in South Deering if you've never been.
Never.
The Beer Temple.
I'd happily pray there.
Okay, in Avondale.
Cool.
The Empty Bottle.
Oh, yeah, definitely been
there. Have you played there, Michael?
I've never played there. I've covered a billion shows there. One of the greatest venues in all of Chicago. It's the last really small town venue that we have here in the city.
Love it. I saw it there.
Western. Very, very classic.
Ukrainian
good place.
Village. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Definitely. Aucheval.
Oh, Aucheval. Go to Small Cheval. Save yourself 3 hours of wait.
Same thing with Girl and the Goat. Go to Little Goat, too.
Yeah.
Because they're both awesome. But
yeah, that's what you want to do. Go to the smaller, like the pop-ups that offer the same food,
food.
For less time.
Exactly. Less money. Yeah. Hot G Dog is also in there. Smart Bar, Half Acre Brewery, which is awesome in Lincoln Square.
Yeah, Half Acre, that's great.
The Neo Futurarium, we've had their actors on the program before. And then, of course, you know, Art Institute, Garfield Park Conservatory, Wrigley Field, Millennium Park, Lincoln Park Zoo, and number one, Willis Tower.
Whoa, the Sky Deck.
Telling you, I would go the Hancock.
Yeah,
it's half
that's
the
fun.
Price. And
plus, you get to see the Oak Street Curve.
Plus, if you go to the bar on the 95th floor, you just have a drink.
Yeah.
You don't even have to pay the admission.
Absolutely.
It's probably cheap. Well, Maybe not cheaper. That's protein, exactly.
Yeah, that's a pro tip, though.
Live from Chicago, Illinois, here is another episode of What's That From?
It's back. We're back. What's That From? All right, Roger, take it away. Give us a little explanation of what we're doing and what we're reading.
Okay, this is going to be a very short scene.
Okay.
Actually, it's two scenes kind of put together from the movie. And this is a dramatic movie. So it's not a comedy. It's a newer movie in your lifetime terms of newer.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
A very emotional movie. So we are ready to go, and Abrosino's house interior, daytime. Mary opens the door. It's very dark, very quiet. Laura is lying in bed. Mary goes over to her. They speak in whispers.
I'm embarrassed.
That's okay. I understand.
It's just the pain. It's only getting worse. I can't be a good wife. I can't be a good mother.
I'm real sorry, Laura.
Mary sits down on the chair next to the bed, takes a beat.
Know what I always thought? I always wanted in my life, Mary. A Jaguar.
Jaguar's a pretty car.
I thought if I could spend that kind of money on a car, it'd mean anything and everything. And everything would be just fine. I don't even know how much they cost.
A lot. But you hang in there. Maybe you'll get one.
Laura shakes her head.
Wouldn't mean a thing.
Mary watches her sadly. The scene shifts to Charles' office later on in the day. The tequila's been dipped into. Charles and Mary are each lying on a couch, staring at documents. Late night working.
Mary, how are you?
Wait, start again, Charles.
Okay. Mary, let me tell you something. If I had to put three researchers on this, I wouldn't expect them to dig up all the information you got here. You should have put this on one page. This is some damn good work.
Yeah? Then give me another raise.
Hey, I got a staff to pay, plus rent. Plus, I haven't billed a minute of my time since I started on this case. So you can quit hitting me up like I'm rich or something.
He gets up, grabs his trash can, and moves around the room with it, cleaning up all the Chinese food cartons.
Don't give me... Don't give me that. You're going to get plenty rich off this, Mr. 40%. We got those PG&E jerks... Really? By the here...
You can't say that on the radio.
I know, I didn't.
Wait till you get to your next line.
Oh, jeez.
We've got the PG&E jerks in Hinckley by the... yeah. But somebody's getting rich unless we can pin this on the corporate PG&E jerks in San Francisco.
What do you mean?
Corporate is claiming they had no way of knowing what was going on in Hinckley.
Oh, they knew. They had to know.
Show me the documents that proves that.
She doesn't have one.
Mm-mm.
Then they didn't know. And if they didn't know, we can't hit them for punitive damages. And punitive damages is where the money is.
Jesus Christ, Charles. You know, the more I work on this thing, the more I realize what a crock of crap this legal system is. Here we got a company that poisoned a whole aquifer, that built a pool for a town, then filled it with toxic water. And we're the ones who gotta bust our ass proving things? That's just not right.
Charles smiles.
I like this case.
Really? Makes me sick.
Me too. That's why I like it. It's been a long time since I had a case I cared about.
You didn't care about my case?
I would now.
He gives her a long look.
Hey, I like working with you.
Well, good, Charles. I like working with you, too.
They both smile a little awkwardly. And then?
When did you start calling me Charles?
Wow.
No Mercedes-Benz for you.
Wow. Academy Award. We need to call SAG, right? We need to call the Oscar committee or the Emmy committee.
Yeah. Oh, don't do that. We'll really be in trouble.
Holy cow. I think we did great.
I am blown away. I teared up a little bit in it. And
I did too.
Got brought back to back to Earth.
Holy cow. Roger, I actually know what this one is.
See, I told you.
What? That's a good one.
Yeah.
This is a really good one. This is a great movie.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
All right. 312-981-7200. If you think you know this scene that we just acted out, we gave it our all. Mm-hmm. Blood, sweat, and tears.
I think Dean would give it a Dean's List B+.
I think Dean would give it an A.
You think
you?
So? A?
I think
sure.
so.
What's higher than A?
No more soap commercials for us.
Yeah, what's higher than A? A++?
A++,
I think that works.
All right, if you think you know what it is, give us a call. 312-981-7200 is our number. And what are we giving away? Laughstock tickets or pizzas? What are we giving away, Michael? We get Laughstock tickets, right? Oh, wait. What are we giving away? Okay, we're going to give a pizza away. Ooh. We already gave all Laughstock tickets away because that's this weekend.
Pizza certificate?
Yeah, we're going to give away a Lou Malnati's pizza to the person who thinks they know. Can I take this caller? Can I do it? No? Okay. They don't know? Get out. Roger!
Come on, people! You don't know your movies?
Wow! I thought
slap a few of them.
Oh my gosh! I thought I even got this one, and I never get your movies.
I know. Sometimes I can't remember what they are either.
God, there's a pizza on the line too.
My gosh! I can't believe this.
Do we have callers, Michael? Jeez.
All right, you know what? You and I split the movie with Aubrey.
Oh, all right, we'll split the pizza.
Yeah.
All right, now we're getting calls. Yeah. Now we're getting calls. Do they? Who should I take, Michael? Okay, let me take... Stand by. Katie, do you think you know what that movie is?
Pizza. Yeah. All right, now we're getting calls.
Hello?
Katie, what's the movie?
Me? Oh, I'm sorry. Aaron Brockovich.
Yeah. Yay. That's it, right, Roger?
What gracious.
Was it my dramatic reading as Julia Roberts that gave it away?
It was all of you.
Or was it Aubrey? Was it Alfie?
It was everyone.
Dramatic.
Yeah, it was very dramatic.
It was the narration.
It was the narration, yeah, that gave it away, exactly. All right, hold on, Katie. We're going to give you a Lou Malnati's pizza gift card. Of course, Lou Malnati is one of the premier pizzerias in Chicago with that delicious buttery crust. You did great, Roger.
Well, I tried.
That was very nice.
And I've got one for next week, but I've
been... Can we do another?
Well, yeah.
Did you print it up already?
Oh, for tonight?
Yeah, I want to do another.
I'd have to go to my locker.
People got
and
that.
Get
oh
it.
No, it's okay. We don't want to give too much away. We got to save one for next Friday. Oh, although I won't be here. I'll be on vacation
what?
Next Friday. Yeah, I'm taking a week off.
You know, Roger, I have a request.
Uh-oh.
Oh yeah.
Never done before.
Okay.
Because I know we have a good one for next week, but maybe in the future.
You do know I enjoy that.
Go ahead. I know you do.
This is going to be a very interesting weekend.
Yes.
but for one of these weeks, I'd love for us to tackle a musical where we have to sing.
Yes.
Oh, that would be awesome.
That's
Thank
a
you.
Great idea.
Thank you. I've already been through about five scripts from five different movies already tonight before we did this one because I was looking for more. And it's just so difficult to find any that have decent dialogue with more than two people that doesn't give the movie away in the first line.
Mm-hmm.
And so I will look up musicals.
Oh, that's a great
one. That would be wonderful. And then we'll all have to sing.
The key of R.
Yeah.
And that will automatically give it away.
I love
it. Each time.
See, I'm already thinking like Moulin Rouge and Chicago or Sound of Music.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. Like Sound of Music, that would be pretty easy.
I want to see Aubrey rap Hamilton so bad.
Yeah, right.
Can't even tell you.
He's not going to miss his shot.
I think that'd be a lot of fun.
Did you guys all see Hamilton?
I did not.
I have not seen Hamilton.
You've not seen it yet? No Hamilton?
I heard that it's making a little bit of sound. I heard it's pretty good.
Oh, yeah. It's excellent. It's absolutely. If you're going to splurge on a musical, you know, maybe, I don't know, around the holidays or something or for that special someone.
Cash in my IRA?
Yes.
Okay.
Do it. Although, truly, you could have where it's playing down at the theater at, I know they've changed the name a million times. It's Dearborn and Monroe is where the theater is, where Hamilton plays, or where it's being shown. But It is such a great venue. You're not going to, I don't think you can have a bad seat in the house.
Oh, so you can go for like some of the less expensive seats higher up.
Yeah.
And you'd still have a good time.
Yeah, I paid to see when I was on the floor, and those were good seats. But then the second time I saw it, I was up in the balcony area. Mm-hmm. And it's still, the stage is really cool. It's built up. It's not really extended out. It's just built up. So you can't really have a bad seat.
Awesome.
Plus the music is fantastic.
That's
as you
I've
would
heard.
Expect. So great job, Roger. You
Thank
did good.
You.
This
Thank
was
you.
Awesome. All right, we'll take care of some business and come back and after this on WGN.
Hello world, hear the song that we're singing. Come on, get happy. A whole lot of loving is what we'll be bringing. We'll make you happy.
You had to tease me one more time, Michael Heidemann. Roger Michael put together, we had the best music on the program yesterday. It was in honor of Aretha Franklin, who passed away yesterday at the age of 76. All of our music throughout the whole program for 4 hours was Aretha.
Oh, fantastic.
Everything from, you know, the originals, Chain of Fools and Think mm-hmm. and Respect, all the way up to the 80s songs, Who's Zoomin' Who and...
Mm-hmm. Pink Cadillac.
Yeah, Sisters Are Doing It For Themselves with Annie Lennox. So I went home today and on my Apple Music, I just, I did a shuffle of Aretha and just played it all day.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, it's just, let's see, her first hit was what, 1967,
right?
67, okay.
Right, because that was the year she was on, it was either 67 or 69, she was on the cover of Time Magazine.
Okay,
for the first
so
time.
1967. You want to feel young?
Yes.
All right, 1967. I was either end of my freshman year of high school or beginning of my sophomore year of high school.
Okay.
And we probably heard that song on...
Which one? R-E-S-P-E-C-T?
Yeah, Respect. We probably first heard that on WVON.
Oh, cool. Suck it to me.
Yeah. And because that's where all of the Motown songs were heard in Chicago first before they hit the charts on WLS and WCFL, which were the big rock and roll stations in town, the top 40 stations.
But wait, was it true that Aretha Franklin, she didn't start out with Motown, though? Dean said yesterday.
But the
genre.
The genre. The rhythm and blues.
Okay,
the
right.
The R&B sound was on that station before they started really making the charts of the top 40.
Yeah, yeah.
So you could hear them, you know, a couple of months ahead of time before the top 40 charts got a hold of them and they started making a lot more money because they were on those charts.
See, that's really cool.
Yeah.
God, her music is timeless. Mm-hmm. And she always found a way, I don't even want to say to reinvent herself, because her music was just so powerful all throughout the years. But in the 80s, when she did the duet with Annie Lennox and George Michael, you know, she found a way to relate to that generation, my generation. And then now, you know, the generation after mine, Beyonce and Rihanna.
Oh.
And
how many times was her music sampled?
Jennifer Hudson. Dean did a great interview with Jennifer Hudson earlier this week when he reported that Aretha was gravely ill and she was surrounded by family and friends and was just not doing well. And Jennifer Hudson said the same thing that, and again, Jennifer Hudson is what, in her 30s? Late 30s,
yeah,
probably
late
now?
Yeah, late 30s, sure.
Yeah, so even her generation and younger, even, you know, the stars now, said how much Aretha Franklin inspired them. So again, she's timeless, she's classic, she's the queen of soul, and she's just remarkable.
Yeah. Yeah,
she will.
Her voice will be missed.
Yes, it absolutely will. And you heard one more quick story about Aretha. You heard the story, Roger, that when she was on the Grammy Awards, Luciano Pavarotti was scheduled to perform. And Dean said that he was notorious for either showing up really late or not showing up at all sometimes.
Yeah.
He had to cancel some shows in Chicago because of that, too.
Yeah.
And he canceled. And they gave Aretha Franklin 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, just let me step aside here. I'll warm up. She sang opera.
I know. Nessun Dorum.
No, yeah. And had 20 minutes to prep for it.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah, her range
There
was
were
insane.
Two YouTube videos that I saw. Two different. She did it twice that I know of only because of the YouTube videos.
Yeah.
And one of them shows, as she's starting to hit one of the higher notes towards the end of the selection, this young boy just walks across the stage and gives her a hug.
How about that?
I don't know who it was. I don't know, you know, if it was one of the stagehands' family or if it was part of her family, but it kind of shocked her for a split second. Mm-hmm. Like it broke her concentration, but she didn't let go of the note.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
And, oh,
yeah,
wow.
She will absolutely live on. Visitation details are coming as well. Funeral arrangements for the Queen of Soul.
Yeah.
All right, what makes you guys happy, Raj?
Oh, my goodness, that I'm here with you again?
No!
Yeah, our oldest granddaughter turned 10 yesterday.
Oh.
So congratulations to Sydney, and we had a great time, and she got things that she wanted. And awesome. It was wonderful.
Awesome.
So we had a good time.
Very cool. Happy birthday to Sydney. Mike Heidemann, thanks for everything these past couple of weeks. I'm flying solo until Patty comes back. And what's your happiness for the weekend?
Oh, man. Andrea, it's been such a pleasure working. These last few weeks have been really fun. And we've had so many awesome guests.
Yeah, we have.
And I really, really enjoyed that. This week, it's been a really busy week. My brother is doing really well. My parents are in Wisconsin right now. So shout out to them.
Nice. Congrats to your brother. Can we talk about your brother? Or
sure.
No?
Yeah, of course.
Congratulations. Your brother just graduated from the police academy.
Yeah.
And now joins the ranks of the Chicago Police Department, some of the 12,000 plus men and women serving and protecting our streets every single day. And we thank them for it.
Yeah. What they do is so important. One of Chicago's finest. And, you know, it's something that I myself probably couldn't do. So I can't tell you how much I respect my brother.
He's
a great, great person. Speaking of other great things, though, this weekend I'm going to be playing a show over at Bill's. It's here on Hubbard and State, right across from the House of Blues at 8 o'clock. It's an open mic, so we're trying something new. So if you have any music, I know if you want to bring the saw or the spoons, I know you're really good at.
Oh, totally, right?
Bring
exactly.
them on over.
Exactly. I will. That's awesome. I'm going to try and come see you on Saturday, too. I have a family barbecue during the day, but we should be back in the city in the time to see you.
Wonderful. Yeah, so that was my good thing. It's just, you know, getting to play music and all, and supporting my brother. So so that was my good thing.
And you're so good. Last week you played for us, Michael. You're so, so good. And in addition to being a great singer, you're such a talented guitarist. So
wow.
Keep
you.
On keeping on.
Thank you very much. And we had a great call from caller Peg.
Oh, Peg.
Who calls me. She goes up, "Hey, Mr. Foxy."
Oh, there you go.
That kind of made me laugh.
Do people call, do you get called that when you perform sometimes?
When I perform, they always go, "That's a sweet last name." And I go, "Yes, it is. It's a sweet last name."
It is a sweet last name. Michael J. Foxy. Cool. We'll go and see Michael perform tomorrow. That's a really cool venue. I haven't been inside, but I pass it every day now coming in. Mm-hmm. It is awesome. So it's like a restaurant, and then the back area is where you can... Where the performances are?
It's like a gourmet burger place. So in the back, it looks like a fancy restaurant. And in the front, it looks like a diner. It's connected to a hotel down here in Chicago, too. It's a really cool place to play. And the thing is, it's right on the corner of the street. So there's a lot of good foot traffic. And it's a good place to get a great bite to eat here in Chicago.
Hey, if someone wants to come to open mic night, how does that work? You just show up with your instrument and play, or do you have to like register online or anything?
No, it's as easy as that. That's the best part, because I wanted to make this open mic not millennial focused. It's not online. Just come to the open mic, sign up. There's a pen and paper, if you remember those. You write down your name, and then I'll find you a slot to play two or three songs.
Very cool. Are you in charge of it?
Yeah, I'm in charge. I'll be hosting it.
Oh, so that's why you said I can come play spoons.
Yes.
Because anybody else would be like, yeah, leave the spoons at the door.
Leave the spoons in the ice cream.
Right, just pay the bar bill.
But yeah, I'm excited to be a part of that, and I really appreciate all the people who gave me the opportunity to play over there. So, all good things.
Very cool. Raj, we're going to go play open mic night sometime.
Yeah,
right?
I'm playing Sporks.
Like Captain and Tennille.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to wear my captain's hat.
How about that? Love will keep us together.
Yeah, you can sit on the piano.
Okay. I actually can play piano.
Who?
I can play piano.
We have
a
piano.
Then I'll sit on the piano. You play.
Okay. Well, now I haven't played since I'm a kid, but...
Well, so?
I have a keyboard, and it's probably in my mom's basement.
Wow.
That's how long ago it's been since I've played.
Well,
I tried to teach myself guitar. I can play I Love Rock and Roll.
Mm-hmm.
Not well. And... Running Down a Dream, Tom Petty. Just the first part.
Two of the most rock and roll songs that there ever was.
Yeah, yeah. I can
whistle.
I can't finish the song, though. Yeah, we'd be with such a hit at open mic night, Roger.
You got that right.
Michael has talent, and, you know, we'd be sitting there playing sporks. And
well, you know, one other thing. We also are open to doing comedy at this open mic, too. So if you can't play music, come and tell a few jokes. And I feel like, Raj, I'm sure you got to be
Oh, yeah. Because that's our forte.
All I got to do is walk out on stage. I have them laughing in stitches just looking at me.
Awesome. Well, my something good is it's the weekend. We're covering Aaron Water Show tomorrow for Channel 9 and Sangria Fest on Sunday. Family barbecue tomorrow as well and seeing some friends on Sunday. It's been great. Patty, you'll be back on Monday. She and I will be back together on Wednesday or Thursday. So we will hopefully see you guys all next week.